Hello, 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 and welcome back to the Stiff Upper Lip Podcast with a Zweihander here to help out break up the year. We're heading into Thanksgiving. And joining me, of course, Tom, is Max, who's here. No Sam, no Ed. Apologies made on their behalf. But I feel like you are the... you are the Peyton Manning to my Eli Manning. How about that?
Oh, that's very kind of you. That's very kind of you. I'd like to think that you're more like the seventh Philip Brothers kid to my fourth Philip Brothers kid.
I don't know enough about Philip Rivers and or his children to...
No, you can probably take a good punt on their names. I'm more like Elijah Rivers, right? And you're more like... Ricky Rivers?
Ricky Rivers. I'm going to go...
That's a bad guy from a surf, fucking snowboarding movie.
We gotta race down the mountain, or Ricky Rivers is going to have his dad close down the rec center.
Richard Rivers.
Ricky Jr. Oh. Yeah, it is Thanksgiving. As of the time of recording this, tomorrow, but hopefully by time of posting today. Happy Thanksgiving, Yanks. We are gonna do a couple segments here because the games last week, while fun in their own right, I just don't want to talk about them. Just don't want to cover them. But we will do what we are thankful for on this little Zweihander, and we're also gonna look ahead since the season only starts after Thanksgiving. We're going to be looking ahead at which teams are going to flip or flop their season around. I know that last week we said that we were going to talk teams that we would stick a fireplace coal poker in them, but we're saving that for next week because we're recording late. So, yeah, are you excited to... Do you have any plans for the Thanksgiving games since you're early bird, Max?
Probably just watch my team get the shit kicked out of them after, like, spending 48 straight hours trying to lay down the excuse. It's like you know when you make an aquarium, and before you put the gravel down, you have to put like a sand substrate down. That's basically what I'm trying to do. Is I'm trying to build a sustainable habitat for the fact that the Packers are going to lose 48-21 Thanksgiving in front of everyone.
Yeah, it's definitely your preferred way of dealing with it. Is if you're not going to get the win, then you're going to get the excuse. And
they have got some decent excuses, to be fair. That all of their skill players, their best skill players, are going to be out or injured for this game. So
was it Luke Musgrave who had a lacerated kidney? Was it?
Yeah, he had a lacerated kidney, and then he didn't tell anyone anything. Finished the game, and then had to go to hospital. But it might end his season.
Well, I mean, respect for playing through it, but at the same time, that does absolute nightmare for my fantasy teams.
Me too.
Yeah, just an
he was
absolute...
really coming along as well.
You know, in one of my leagues, I started out the year with Mark Andrews and Pat Freiermuth, and then I traded for Dallas Goedert. So I've lost all three of my tight ends for various reasons.
Yeah, I have a Goddard Musgrave league.
Oh, it's rough going out there. We're having to start Taysom Hill this week.
I'm not thankful for it.
Yeah, respect. shall we hit the thankful later and do the flops now?
Oh, this, you know, while we're on the topic of Thanksgiving, I think you and I are very much the proper football individuals. Like, anything Yank, we have a natural negative reaction to. I would say, like, this entire conversation, and indeed, our entire history of watching this sport is done essentially through gritted teeth. So that's. It's going to be difficult to talk about, but I think there are some things that we are thankful for. Probably. I don't know if you want to go first. I really struggled to think of one. Which kind of tells you about what my mindset is at the moment in the NFL.
Well, I got handed a real layup yesterday afternoon for what my answer was going to be. I was going to go for the real corny route of, like, I'm really thankful for the fact that we get to sit here and talk about NFL games for at least 14 weeks of the season. But then I got handed a little parcel, got sort of sent down the Ohio River, and it found its way somehow east and across the Atlantic ocean, and then wound its way into my landlocked city, where it handed me that Matt Canada was fired, and that is what I am thankful for. I'm thankful for a man losing his job because I don't have to watch a Matt Canada offense, at least after this week. Like, I'm expecting there to be some teething pains, but after this week, we should at least have some, like, reasonable bleeding into the NFL sphere. Something that wasn't directly ripped off of, like, a 1999 high school playbook, and something that's a little bit more up to date and watchable and effective. So that's what I'm thankful for. I'm thankful for Matt Canada being fired, because as a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, as well documented, my struggles with seeing unwatchable offensive coordinators has been a long-running thing, and we somehow picked up a worse one after Andy Fichtner and then kept him for 44 games, where in those 44 games I saw with my eyes, 7 games with 2+ passing touchdowns. That is ridiculous. Tommy DeVito has a better passing touchdown success rate than a Hall of Fame quarterback, granted in his final season.
I was like, ambitious for Kenny Pickett.
No. And a Heisman Trophy finalist, amongst also some Mitchell Trubisky time. But, like, how does this happen? Well, there's one bald man in a booth somewhere who ain't going to be in that booth no more, baby, because he's been punted out of Pittsburgh. Yeah, that's what I'm thankful for, baby. Big result.
Yeah, I'm sure that anyone listening to this in Belgium or anywhere else, hearing the fact that you're like, what I'm thankful for is a man losing his job, they'll know. They're a sports fan, so they'll know the feeling. But it is pretty funny. He gets to spend it with his kids, if he has them, which he probably does. So,
if he has
whatever, them. Man. Whatever, man.
I don't have to care about whether or not he's got children anymore. I don't have to care. He's out of here, baby.
You had to care before. God, I'm trying to remember Matt Canada's kids' names. It's a mess.
Elijah and Ricky Canada.
Yeah. God, Ricky Canada.
Oh, my God. Yeah. It does feel harsh to have to celebrate it, but I actually might enjoy a Sunday for the first time in 3 years. Oh, let's hope. Fingers crossed.
Yeah, let's see. I mean, I was thinking about what I was thankful for, and I think, you know, Americans, I think one of the key themes that they pick out of Thanksgiving every year is you have to sit there and you have to listen to your maniac great uncle bang on about whatever, you know, some lunatic conspiracy theory. And I thought, hang on a second. If a football team is like a family, then I'm grateful to know, or sorry, thankful to stay on theme. I'm thankful that I no longer have to put up with the Green Bay Packers' old maniac uncle, Aaron Rodgers, and that he's no longer my problem. It's like being told that relative that everything they say just boils your blood, they're not coming to Christmas, and you're like, thank God, I don't have to deal with that. I'm going to have a much better time. And you know what? In this case, maybe, you know, they were the relative who made your favorite Thanksgiving dish, which is, you know, probably a side dish for a roast dinner that has marshmallows in it. Maybe they were the person who made that. So you're a bit gutted you're not going to have that, and you're going to have to make do with something a little bit worse. But you're going to have a better time enjoying your marshmallowless Thanksgiving dinner, if Americans can even bring themselves to imagine such a thing.
You know, you raise an excellent point exclusively about why do they have marshmallows with their like Thanksgiving dinner? Why do they have two sweet things?
Mate, it's nuts. And they have like a thing that has like a can of cream of mushroom soup in it or something.
Oh, I just don't get it. I can appreciate that there are cultural differences, but I don't want to hear them come for my beans on toast, which I don't even like beans on toast, but I don't want to hear it when they're putting marshmallows with fucking sausage gravy that looks like catsick. Don't want to see it.
Sausage gravy actually does bang.
It does bang, but like it looks disgusting. All other forms of gravy are better gravy. I won't hear it. We were very cynical there with our things that we're thankful for. You know what, Max?
They make, like, they call it stuffing, but it looks like if you mixed some massive croutons into mashed potato. That's odd.
You know what I'm thankful for, Max? Just to give it,
what
like
is it, Chappers?
A little more peaceful, positive spin. I'm thankful for you, baby, because you've been supplementing our show with ideas all year, and it's been an absolute blast to have to record these stupid ideas with you, buddy.
It's been an absolute blast to have to record these stupid ideas. That was like last week when Sam was like, I'm gonna fire out some ideas like a bullet, and then he just went
I'm gonna get this one done short and sweet.
Oh mate, it has been a pleasure. I think we've reinvigorated the recording of our show by not talking about a bunch of mediocre teams every week.
Yeah.
And instead laying down some hot takes. Maybe hot takes even about who we think will flip and who we think will flop around like a fish out of water.
You know, this is why it has been an absolute blast, because you've just segued it perfectly. Let's talk about a couple teams that we think are going to have their season turned around when it starts as of Thursday. Yeah, because the season is bollocks before then. Max, do you want to take the first jolt at who you think is going to flip or flop their season around first?
Yeah, I think a team who I'm going to go for flip to maintain our streak of like tainted positivity that we're on. I'm gonna say a team name who I don't think we've mentioned once this season. I think a team who have a losing record at the moment, but who I think will finish with a winning record, is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They're sitting there 4-6, which is one game out of the NFC South, which is not a great division, and the next games are against the Colts. That one, I believe, is in Indy. And then they're at home to the Panthers. Probably win that. Away to the Falcons. Decent chance on that. And the Colts. Away at the Packers. Decent chance on that. Home to the Jags. Probably lose that. Home to the Saints. And then away at the Panthers. Probably win that. So I reckon two wins against the Panthers. And let's say three wins out of the Colts, Falcons, Saints, and Packers games, and they would finish 9-8, and they would probably win the division if they do that. I think it's very possible. I really liked what I've been seeing out of Mike Evans. They did just get kind of handled away at the 49ers, but that game is always probably going to be a non-starter for them. Obviously, before that, they marginally lost to the Texans in that absolute barn burner of a game. But they've had some big wins. They've had to play, you know, they had to play the Vikings on the road, although they won that. They've had to play the Eagles, the Lions, the Bills. Yeah, like I said, the Texans. They've had some tough fixtures, but it eases up. And I think they'll probably I think they've probably got enough veteran talent and just enough coaching to get them over the line in a very mediocre division.
Yeah, it's quite an interesting one, really, with the Buccaneers, because I was thinking that they were going to be a lot worse. I think I'd sort of bought into, like, oh, Baker Mayfield is not very good, and they're trotting out, like, a bunch of guys that didn't win very many games last year, and then they've looked pretty good in some of these losses, and, like, they've had some kind of weird losses, like, but the teams that they've lost to are the Eagles, Lions, Bills, Texans in that ridiculous game, and the 49ers, like, that is genuinely putting yourselves through the ringer. But they've beaten, like, the Vikings, the Bears, the Saints. They lost to the Falcons, to be fair, but, like, divisional round, like, or divisional game, like, it could flip.
I would say, like, they've beaten the teams that you would expect an 8-9 or 9-8 teams to beat. And they've lost to the teams that you would expect a 9-8, 8-9 team to lose to. So,
and now they're about to get a bunch of those teams that an 8 or 9 or 9 and 8 team should win against. Like, they could go 6-1 down the stretch, and that would make perfect sense. Like, that is mental.
Yeah, they are who we thought they were. And
they
I think
are
they've
who
gone...
we thought they were. And we let him off the hook.
Sorry.
I didn't know you had that one queued up.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
Have you got playoffs?
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs? You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
You're goddamn right, I've got it queued up. You know me. Those were the only two that I've got queued up from elsewhere. But I do also have this.
Oh my God. America's team.
So, yeah. Which isn't the team that I'm saying are going to flop, but they are playing the team who I think will flop, and that is the Seattle Seahawks, who are currently sat at a very nice-looking 6-4 record. But listen to this schedule going forward for the rest of the season. They are home to 49ers, at
loss.
Cowboys,
loss
at 49ers.
Loss.
Home to Eagles.
Loss. And you're 4-8. You're 6-8 at that point.
You're 6-8 at that point. On a 4-game losing skid. They then get the Titans,
win.
The Steelers, and the Cardinals. But, like, those four games are prime blowing it category. And, like, if they lose one of those last three, that is their season over. That is them flipped. Or flopped around, so I'm picking them as a regression candidate purely because of the fact that they've already lost the Rams coming into this. They didn't look all that great against the Commanders. They got blown out by the Ravens, and then they're going to get the four hardest teams in the conference, or like the four hardest games in the conference, not including the Lions. Give me a break. Come on now.
They did have that weird, that was a bizarre win against the Lions they had in week two, an overtime win. Feels like one of the only overtime games we've had this season. But other than that, their only wins are against the Panthers, a 10-point win against the Panthers, a 3-score win over the Giants, yeah, fair enough. Beat the team that we don't talk about, 10-point win over the Cardinals, and then a 3-point win over the Commanders. So they're flattering to deceive, and Geno's potentially going to be banged up. Kenneth Walker's out for the year.
Yeah, it's tricky. Like, their O-line is struggling. I can't really say that, like, I'd say that with the health that the Seahawks have right now, they would end up coming out of that, I'd probably say 2-5 off of the games down the stretch, maybe. And that doesn't include that they will probably also lose players against the 49ers, Cowboys, or Eagles, considering just how ferocious those teams all are, especially on defense. So, you know, that's my candidate for a team that will flop. A team that will flip, on the other hand, from the same division, are the 4-6 Los Angeles Rams, who I didn't actually look at their schedule coming in. But I have now seen that they have the Cardinals, the team we don't talk about, the Ravens. So 1-2 out of there, you'd probably say. Maybe 2-1, you'd probably be all right with. Commanders, Saints, Giants, and then the 49ers in week 18. I think that there's enough winnable games to flip their season around to becoming a 9-8 playoff candidate in the NFC, because I think that a 9-8 team is going to get there. And, you know, I think that it could be the Rams. They just came off of a win against the Seahawks after getting Matt Stafford back. They lost three straight with the Steelers, Cowboys, Packers games, but also, like, the Cowboys and Packers game, I believe Matt Stafford either was out or he was definitely out for the entire Packers game, so I can't really take any stack in that. And the Cowboys game, the Cowboys are one of the best teams in the conference, but, you know, they are, I think, a better team than at least four of those teams in that schedule, with the Cardinals, Commanders, Saints, and Giants. And then I think they could flip that game against the team we don't talk about and make it a nice little run down the end and maybe even get a playoff berth.
I think this might be the one where I'm going to have to disagree with you. And I'll tell you the reason why. I mean, this is tricky because a lot of the teams in the NFL are in and around the same sort of corridor of uncertainty in terms of quality. But I think the reason why is I think Matt Stafford might be washed. There are times this year when it's felt like he's been out of games hurt. He just hasn't made an impact. But it's just been the fact that he's at best a league average quarterback. I mean, he's got his worst completion percentage in 10 years. He's got 9 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. And he looks a little bit frail. You know, he looks a little bit like that quarterback who's still got all the mentals and can still make a lot of throws, but doesn't quite have the same array that he had a few years ago. A little bit like, you know, late career Philip Rivers is kind of the vibe that I'm getting. The Rams have struggled to run the ball, so it puts a lot onto the passing game. But you would have thought with Cooper Kupp coming back, he's not really had the impact they would have wanted, albeit, you know, maybe his health hasn't quite been there. They've got a breakout star in Puka Nacua. You would have wanted more, and they haven't got enough out of Matt Stafford. So I think he can't be trusted to stay healthy either. I think that's why they might not quite get back to full flip.
On the counterpoint, because I realised that I also forgot to mention this, is that they were getting some nice production in the run game out of Kyren Williams, who is now back from injury heading into this game against the Cardinals. And even if they chose to keep him out for this game and just like give him an extra week like the Vikings did with Jefferson, I think that they've still got enough firepower to get past the Cardinals. But then getting him back at least alleviates some of the pressure off of Matt Stafford having to do it all, because Daryl Henderson isn't very good. And
he's off the team now.
He's been cut. But, you know, Kyren Williams was playing pretty well down the like start of the year, I think. And getting him back is very important for how this team would probably like to operate. And with that being the case, I could still see that there is enough winnable games and enough games that, like, an Aaron Donald, like, 1.5 sack, 8 tackle, just complete game-wrecking from a D-tackle perspective, like, could happen. I'm still saying that I think that they can flip it around, but I appreciate your point. Who do you think is going to flop then?
I was just going to say the Rams feel like they just have no explosiveness at the moment. But, you know, maybe they've got enough of a solid base and enough veteran presence that they can pull it around. The team that I think is going to flop is... actually, you kind of stole mine with the Seahawks.
Sorry.
So the team who I'm gonna get bashed for this one. So I was looking at teams in the NFC, and to clarify, 6 teams in the NFC have a winning record right now. 10 teams are 500 or below. So it's a tricky task because Six of the teams with a winning record are the Eagles, probably not going to finish with a losing record. Cowboys, probably not. 49ers and Lions, probably not. So the two teams with a winning record who you would think have a good chance to finish are the 6-4 Seahawks we've discussed, and the 6-5 Minnesota Vikings, who I think logically would be my choice, because the other one would be the Bills in the AFC, but I actually kind of rate their chances of finishing strong. So the Vikings at 6-5, what is the reason that I think that they might flop? I don't trust the quarterback. This came out obviously last week when we were talking about comeback player of the year, our predictions for that, and you guys said Dobbs, and I was like, I don't know, he's still Josh Dobbs, you know? He's been in the league for what, like six years or something like that? And he certainly wasn't in the comeback player of the year discussions before he joined the Vikings. You know, that wasn't a thing. And I mean, he had some admirers, but his odds were very, very long, like 1,000 to 1, 100,000 to 1, maybe not that long. But he has a lot of moxie. Great ghoul, you know. He can be capable of putting the team on his back. And the Vikings have the weapons to allow him to do that, and they don't even have Jefferson on the field. I was a little bit spooked by that Broncos game. I think they were lacking big plays, and a lot of what Dobbs has achieved this year has been using it is natural athleticism, scampering around, getting out of the pocket, picking up first downs with his legs, and creating plays out of structure. The Broncos got a lot of heat on him. They really limited that. He looked a little bit scrambled. He had a pick and a fumble, but I reckon if you go back and watch, he probably had two more at least that Broncos defensive backs got their hands on that you'd probably think had a good chance of being picked. And yeah, even though they're getting Jefferson back, I just wonder, is Dobbs the guy who can take on coaching? Again, it is a good coaching team. I'm not saying they're a bad coaching team, but is Dobbs the guy that can take on coaching in that scheme? Or is he the kind of guy who actually he's suited to stepping in, just running around, making big plays, but then when they actually try and settle him down and get and see what Kirk Cousins was doing, he starts to struggle?
Yeah, it's a tricky one. I know that you are going to get killed for it because Ed, avid listener of these episodes in at least the quality control sense, is going to be like, but they are doing well. But like, after the Bears and Raiders games, they've got the Bengals, which, you know, with no Joe Burrow, there is potential there for a win, but I still think the Bengals have got quite a lot of talent there. It's just that the guy under center is naff. And then the Lions twice and a game against the currently upswinging Packers. So they are a sort of candidate to fall a little bit back down to earth, but like they've gotten here off of coaching and moxie and cojones, and I'm not entirely sure that won't just happen again in like 4 out of those 6 games that I've just said. Like, I think that they might get swept by a good Lions team. Hell, the Lions might end up even like resting starters in week 18, and that at least gives the Vikings like a better chance of not doing that, because I don't think the Lions are going to be that concerned about trying to one up the Eagles. They just have to get there, baby. And if they're already
they might be if they're in the race for the one seed, though.
Yeah, but I just don't see that being the case. Not because the Lions haven't been like elite, but the Eagles are just like, they're just rolling, they're just grinding out every possible avenue. They might do it if they're in the battle for the 2 seed with the Niners, but I can't see them trying too hard to, I can't see them not resting players if they're like locked into the 2 and only the 1 is sort of roughly in reach. Yeah, it's tricky. I know exactly what you mean though, because I've just been trying to think of whether or not we can hit like a third flop or flip each, and I've genuinely looked at every team that's got a losing record is either not sustainable enough to win games consistently, in my book, or has a bad schedule like to run into. and the teams that have got good records that I could see maybe dropping off, like, say, the Steelers or, like, the Dolphins haven't won games against, like, teams over 500. But they're playing, like, bottom-end teams for, like, half the rest of the games that they've got. So, yeah, it's
I think one thing is tricky. That with the NFL this year is it feels like a lot of the teams, like, the from the top 14 teams down, maybe, it feels like the rest 18 are all bottom-end teams. It's quite... I was going to say one last point on the Vikings. They've played 11 games. 10 of them have been one-score games. Ed, this is for you. The only convincing victory they had was, of course, at Lambeau Field. A 14-point trouncing of the Packers. I just, if they're 6-5 and every game they're in more or less is a coin toss game, they're naturally, you know, they're naturally a candidate to lose a couple more, just through pure like statistical randomness. It doesn't even matter. There's no point analyzing it. It's just the Vikings.
Yeah, that's fair. Yeah, I don't really have anything else to add on this, and I couldn't pick out a team for flip and flop. But you know what? I'm gonna offer this out to the listeners. Like, if you guys want to get in touch and tell us who you think is gonna flip or flop their season around, maybe even make a case for your own team if we've not covered them to flip their season around, or maybe defend your team if I've said, for example, like with the Seahawks. That they're gonna flop. Like, get on in here. We'd love to hear from you on the socials. Do we have anything else for this week, or are we done in a very brisk 33 minutes, Max?
Yeah, that is incredibly brisk. Do we have anything else? Let's see. Thanksgiving, flip flop. Cold pokers next week. Maybe we can just sit here and pontificate for 15 minutes.
Yeah, we could do. Or we could just get the hell out of here and say to everyone, enjoy your Thanksgiving. Try to drink as much beer as possible in such a short space of time. And
yeah, enjoy your green beans with some sort of corn dish. God, what's wrong with a nice bit of roast beef, Yorkshire pudding, peas, carrots, roast potatoes, parsnips, gravy, and a nice little bit of English mustard on the side to put on the beef? Grow up.
It's a good point. Yeah. Have you been making anything nice, Max?
I had a nice Herbie chicken and dumpling stew over the weekend. That was pretty class, mate.
That sounds good. You'll have to tell me about it after the episode.
Yeah. Listeners, if you want one cooking tip, if you're eating food and you're like, oh, I could use a little something extra, fresh herbs and spices, boomtown.